Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you are here with us in this moment, whether you are listening in on the Beloved Podcast, participating online or in person in or at your microchurch campus today. Welcome. So glad that you're here. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, new to Jesus, just exploring Jesus, or maybe you're a longtime Jesus follower, I believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and of course to challenge you to take one more step toward truth about God, about faith, and about yourself. Over the course of this current talk series that we're exploring right now, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you may have never been able to experience at this point yet in your life. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving to a life in Christ that is truly thriving. Friends, freedom does look good on you, my friend. It is exciting. Here's a scripture that is setting the tone for this exploration. It says in John 8 and 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in John 8, 36, just a couple verses down, "And if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free." Beautiful. Jesus repeatedly teaches us that when we believe on Him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, surrendering to receive His unfailing, everlasting, cascading love for you and I, He gives you a gift of life and life to the fullest. Friends, this is fully thriving. So today, let's unpack the tree of life. Last week, we explored what it meant to look through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Today is the tree of life. And let's see what it means to walk in freedom in this tree of life. Paul the Apostle, and one of the writers of the majority of the New Testament portion of the collection that we call the Bible today, this collection of books, 66 books actually, in fact, he wrote this to the church in Galatia in Galatians 5 and 13. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." You and I, friends, have been called to walk in freedom. So let's walk in it. Over the past couple of weeks, we have walked through the Garden of Eden, exploring the two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We looked at how they each represent a way of living. Last week, we explored how the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and its deadly fruit leads to shame and victimization, which is a victim mentality. And this week, we will look at the tree of life and its ability to set us free from incorrect thoughts about God and ourselves. When you have weak muscles, you know, and you want to increase your strength, what do do that? Do we eat more donuts? Well, not usually. No, we train and we discipline ourselves. When we desire to walk with increased faith, we exercise and build our faith. Through what? Through the reading of God's word, through prayer, through worship, through spiritual disciplines, through contemplative and reflective quiet sometimes. We retrain our thought processes, our perspectives to line up with biblical truths. I said this last week, and I want to say it again. When you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit is knowledge, information, data, ideas, worldviews, thoughts, knowledge of good and evil. When God said, "Don't eat from it lest you surely die," God was simply saying to Adam and Eve, and this is really important, friends, if you change your way of thinking, it will create separation between us. If you change your worldview, you won't be able to understand me. This is what God's saying. You won't be able to relate to me. And this is really important to us. Instead of suffering from spiritual death and living in this disengaged and disenfranchised, segregated existence, we can allow love to have its full authority in us, retraining us, disciplining us, illuminating pathways and patterns and rhythms that will bring us life and life to the fullest rather than spiritual death and separation. Just like weightlifters need a spotter to help encourage and challenge and assist them when the burden is heavy, we likewise need partnership and support throughout this faith-building process in our lives. As we move through this study today, my hopes, and for the rest of the next few weeks, my hope is for you to be able to use Tree of Life thinking as a framework for the way that you approach every situation that you encounter. Remember that God's commands were never meant to be burdensome. In fact, as you grow close to Him and learn to hear His voice, you will find His heart for you. His divine plan was made for your sake, not for His. He simply wants to protect you from every real danger, and He truly desires your success, even here. So let's take a look at the fruit of living in the tree of life. Number one, the tree of life results in fellowship with God. We're looking at fruit of the tree of life. And the first thing is, it results in fellowship with God. John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." According to Vine's Bible Dictionary, the word "know" in this verse is the Greek word genosiko, which means to recognize, to understand, or to understand completely. It indicates a relationship. To experience abundant life in Christ is to truly know and to be in relationship with the living God. He asks us to love Him, but only after His lavish display of love for us through the sacrifice of Jesus. 1 John 4:9-10 says, 9-10, "God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into this world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." The Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that the only reason we have any love at all is because He first loved us. God loved us so much that He gave us His heart in human form. Jesus, fully human and fully God, came to offer His life as a perfect sacrifice in place of our sins, to remit our sins. We, through Jesus Christ, a reunion of sort, restored back into relationship with our God and Father, our Creator, in fellowship. It's beautiful. The cross represents more than a torture stick, which is what it was, or a sacrificial death. It's actually a promise, a blood covenant God made with His Son so that we could have confidence that He would never change His mind about His relationship with us. Hebrews 6, this is in the latter portion of the New Testament collection of books. Hebrews 6 verses 17 to 18 says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to their hearts, to the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath," verse 18, "so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us." Beautiful. See, in the Old Testament, God made covenants with man, like contracts, and man always seemed to break them. This time, though, God sealed the covenant with His own blood, with the blood of Jesus Christ, so that nothing can separate us from His love. Second fruit of living in the tree of life is fellowship with God results in innocence, not the other way around. So we have fellowship with God, and this fellowship with God results in innocence. Genesis 3 and verse 7 states, "And Adam and Eve, they realized that they were naked, so they lost their innocence." And as we spend time walking with God, listening to His voice, talking to Him, obeying Him, worshiping Him, and enjoying this relationship with Him, we will notice a transformation taking place in our hearts and our minds, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. We will become, in a sense, naked or transparent, vulnerable, living naked and unashamed before Him. Nakedness in Genesis 3 and 7 speaks of innocence. Adam and Eve were unaware of any reason to hide anything from God. They had no sin consciousness. Adam and Eve's nakedness was part of the innocence and simplicity of their lives. Before they sinned, they chose to disobey. They had nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hide from. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, it says, "Brothers, stop being childish in your thinking. Be like infants with respect to evil, but think like adults." Yes, God wants us to be mature in our thinking, but for the kingdom of God to work powerfully in you, we must foster a childlike spirit. Matthew 18:3 says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Childlikeness may look to some like naivety or simple-mindedness, but it is actually a biblical way to live. Jesus says we should be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. Matthew 10:16, that's a mysterious and rare combination for the world that we live in, isn't it? Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 1:27, that God deliberately chose things that the world considers to be foolish in order to shame those who may think that they are wise. Imperfect people can still live in innocence that is born out of a relationship with God. It happens when we rest in God. Through knowing Him, an intimate relationship with Him, we abide in His favor and presence. We don't have to live in the separation of shame, but in His grace always abounding. As we are being transformed through this relationship with God, we become less and less affected by the negativity of this world. Our focus isn't enamored by all the loud noise around us, but we're captured by this relationship with Him. When we truly live with surrender to Him, living in His grace, we are no longer guilty, but living in innocence. The enemy has no more ammunition. If we sin, we know how to receive forgiveness. And if someone offends us, we also know how to forgive. Jesus tells us how to live as a child of God in innocence and freedom in these two passages I want to bring to your attention. One is in Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching again, presenting the fullness of the eye for an eye law in Matthew 5:38-39. He says it this way. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a kind of do it unto others as you would have them do to you kind of thing. But verse 39 says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. See, when you are in fellowship with God, personal attacks and insults, offenses against yourself or even your person, we often want to give it back plus one, don't we? Jesus says, though, we can patiently bear such insults. We can trust in God's ability to defend us. Wow. God does care about how we steward ourselves and our relationships. I can turn my cheek when I'm personally insulted. But the government has a responsibility to restrain the evil man from physical assault. By the way, I encourage you, if you're interested in learning what the scripture says about governance and government around us, Romans 13:1-7, read it later. I encourage you and see how scripture exhorts us to subject ourselves to local authorities and governments. Beautiful. Jesus too, though, he also displayed this principle behind the law in his trials before the Sanhedrin and Pilate. He showed that we are to let God defend our case, not ourselves. Upside down to what we often think or hear from our pop culture or even church pop culture. We often live out our lives in the wrong tree, living from the view of the tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of living in trust in Christ, in innocence, in transparency, in vulnerable, naked and unafraid in fellowship with God in this tree of life. All right, the third fruit of living in the tree of life, innocence is a conduit of power, of God's power. Luke 4:18-19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus said after his great temptation by Satan in the desert. He came out full of the Holy Spirit and power to begin his public ministry. The scripture says, God anointed Jesus to preach the good news. What does it mean to be anointed to do something? It means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, friends. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit and abide in the presence of Jesus and Jesus abiding in us, we become free from the works of darkness in our lives. We become vessels of honor and useful to God for his honorable works. See, innocence keeps our minds and hearts pure, helping us continually recognize our need for God and our ability to surrender ourselves to God, our minds and our will. Not puffed up with knowledge and arrogance, going at it all by my lonesome, but dependent on God. like a child dependent on our Heavenly Father. An attitude of dependence on God is fertile ground for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do His work in us and through us. As we seek God and we submit our lives to Him, He also equips us to do every good work, His good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 speaks into this. The author says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Wow. Jesus also said this in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow. Crazy, right? Innocence and power always produces the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, living in the tree of life, friends. All right, the fourth fruit of living in the tree of life, innocence results in freedom. Last week we talked about shame and victimization. Well, the tree of life produces innocence that results in freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 1, it says again, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So live in it. This is the mystery of godliness. We will sin and we will fail. We will fall sometimes, don't we? But if we sin with the tree of life as our perspective, our frame of view, we can readily receive forgiveness and get back up from that mistake. How quickly can we get back up? Depends on the degree of understanding that we have in our hearts of the completeness of God's forgiveness, friends. Wow. Psalms 37:23-24, the author says this, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. We all make mistakes, friends, and will do so until we die. But when I am in close relationship with Jesus, my hand is in his hand, and it makes it easier for me to get back up again when I fall. When we approach life with an innocent spirit, a tree of life frame of view or attitude, it changes the way we live and think about every part of our lives. When we come together in the tree of life perspective as a body of Christ, as a beloved City Church family, we will love what God designed for His body. We will love each segment of its entirety. The people, the prayer, and the worship, serving, giving, and loving, because we are focused on the reason we gather as a body, the church in the first place. On the other hand, thinking in terms of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will result in ideas like, I don't know if I like these people. These songs are too long and too loud. The preaching is too simple. The children are too noisy, or no one greeted me today. Well, we can have a different view. We can have a different perspective to look through. Approaching life with innocence allows us to see the good things in front of us instead of picking every person, church, or situation apart, friends. Innocence sets us free, and we can be free indeed. Relationships change in the innocence of the tree of life. We no longer hold people to impossible standards in our lives. We are quick to extend forgiveness and slow to take offense. Instead of looking for people to meet our needs, we look for ways to serve the needs of others in the tree of life. Because we live for Jesus and His kingdom, people are no longer able to take advantage of this, of us. This is true freedom, walking in the tree of life, walking in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. Reading the Bible, prayer, giving, and serving others should be sources of life and security and strength and delight to us. These things should never be religious duties that must be checked off a to-do list. I get to do what I'm doing. In the innocence of the tree of life, we realize these tasks are done out of relationship, not obligation. Oh man, falling in love with Jesus turns the idea of duty into devotion. And this is a beautiful and wonderful thing. Prayer becomes powerful, and reading the Bible becomes refreshing when we're living in the tree of life. No more guilt-ridden settings where we plow through 20 chapters a day because that's what Christians are supposed to do. Religion says this, do it or suffer. Relationship says, do it and live and reap abundant life. Yes, beautiful. Romans 8 verses 1 to 2 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Wow. Tree of life perspective. Tree of life living. So how can we live in this tree of life? Great question. Now that we know, it is impossible to be free from bondage in our thinking, our actions, and our relationships with God and people. It is possible to be free. It really is, friends. In order to move out of the shadow of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and into the light of the tree of life living, we must know who Jesus is and who we are because of him. Mm-hmm. To help us understand this, we need to look to Romans 12, 1 to 3. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need fresh ways of thinking, renewed minds in Christ Jesus. So here are some powerful truths that can help us form a firm foundation upon which we can build a life that is both abundant and free. We can live in the tree of life. We must remember that relationship with the Father is essential to living in the tree of life. In order to enjoy this right relationship with God, we must receive his extravagant love for us. We must understand it. Romans 5, 8 says that God expressed his great love for us in this way. While we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever looked for God, he made a way for us to be in relationship with him. He made the first move, my friends. Because of the finished work of the cross, we are declared righteous before God. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, our forgiver and our leader. Many of us have been serving God out of duty or even fear, much like a servant, a slave. A servant has an obligation to do what is expected of him. He is required to be faithful or suffer consequences. A son serves because he is part of the family. A son is faithful because of the love that he has for his father. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, God now sees us as sons and daughters, friends, no longer slaves. Galatians 4 and 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. And then 2 Corinthians 6 and 18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Recognize the two environments where you can live, the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowing that you can choose a tree of life response and attitude in every circumstance is crucial to walking in your freedom. It is a daily choice to respond with life and godliness. Godly fruit results from living in the tree of life. God's intended plan for you and I, his way, his truth, and his life. He is the way, the truth, and life. In Matthew 11, Jesus compares his way of living to that of the religious Pharisees. The Pharisees were legalistic and self-righteous. Their approach to God was in this strict keeping of all the Jewish laws. And Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His design, resting in him. So what do? We ask the Lord to help us make life-giving decisions every day, sometimes moment to moment. These are powerful truths that we can live in. See, when faced with a difficult decision or situation, you can pause, you can examine your motives, and you can ask him for wisdom, his wisdom. Retraining the way we think and respond, it takes time. We learn and we grow in both our successes and our failures. Every one of us can reflect on that. I grow when I make mistakes. I'm not going to do that again. And when I've learned from the wins in my life, like, I love this. This is awesome. I can learn from my successes and my failures. Remember, God loves you and he is for you. Grace was his idea. So renew your mind with what the word of God says is true, how he sees you through the lens of scripture. Transformation can take place when we know what the word of God says about our lives. Often our worldview and past experiences shape our version of truth. But friends, we can allow the word of God to wash our minds, to renew our minds, and see what God says about us instead. We cannot make the Bible line up with what we think is true, but we can choose to align our beliefs and our worldviews with the truth of Scripture, with the truth of the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. In order to do this, we must consume the Word of God. We must consume Scripture. We must get into the Word and read it and let it read us. Changing our internal truth will change our external responses. It will. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, friends, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The pattern of this world will lead to death. God's will lead to life." Wow. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that every thought should be examined for godly accuracy. If it does not line up with what the Bible says, we must take it captive and make it obedient to the Word of God, friends. This can become a way of life as we practice putting God's Word ahead of our feelings and ahead of our belief systems. In other words, don't just read the Bible, let it read you. Let it come alive to you. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes and to put on our new self that has been created in the very likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. These are choices we must intentionally make. We can choose to renew our thoughts, our attitudes, and beliefs in God's Word. We can choose to put on holiness and righteousness because we put on Christ. When we do, we will begin to experience true tree of life living, friends, and freedom does look good on you. Philippians 4, we've got plenty of scriptures today, but I love it when we can learn from the Word of God and apply it to our lives. So Philippians 4, 8 to 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely or of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me," Jesus was saying, "these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Stop looking at social media and news outlets for your soul food. Do my daily responses and decisions bring life in myself and to those around me? In what tree am I living? Yeah, Jesus, thank you for the tree of life. We can live in this tree of life and experience life to the fullest, friends. Can you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin, my shame, my brokenness, my hurt, my pain. I choose to receive your extravagant gift of life and love. And I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my leader, my forgiver, and my leader of my entire life. I give you all of me, Jesus. And I ask you to lead me, lead my entire life for your glory. Fill me with your Spirit and help me live the life that you died to give me. Turn my eyes to you, face to face with you, Jesus. I want to be in relationship with you, hand in hand with you, not chasing after the lust of my flesh, nor the pride of life, not hiding in shame. No, I want to live in my design, a child of the Most High God, thinking only on what we read and learn of you, following in your footsteps, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen. Friends, choose to live in the tree of life today. Allow your mind to be renewed as you read the Word of God, as you reflect, and as you are contemplative in those moments of quiet with God. Let Him talk to you. Soften your eyes, your ears, and your heart to receive what He has for you in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you soon.